This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal, medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. And remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. Welcome to The Joy of Living with your humble host, Barry Shore. That's B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, Barry Shore, here in Venice Beach, California, overlooking the vast Pacific Ocean. And we are hosted on this magical, mythical platform called Internet Radio here at K4HD.com. And you can send in your comments as we are on the line. We're going to have something very special for you today, because the only reason that you tuned in to listen to The Joy of Living is because you care most about you. That's you, Y-O-U-E-W-E. That's the only reason you tune in, and that's a good reason, because when you become the best you possible, you make a difference in the world. You are the key to living for all of us in joy, happiness, peace, and love. And I'm happy to say that you are joined at this very moment by 270,811 people around the world listening to The Joy of Living. And if you ever miss a moment of this show, you don't want to do that, and you want to hear it again, and today you certainly want to do that, and you want to share this with at least five people, and you do want to do that, go to barryshore.com, B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, barryshore.com. And all the information you're going to hear today is going to be there, and you'll be able to access. You don't have to write anything down. You don't have to remember anything. Just listen and feel the energy and the power that's going to be given to you today so that you can become the best you possible. Now, as you know, we have about 240,000 people listening every week, and about another 30,000 people coming in because friends tell them about the show, The Joy of Living. And we here on this show speak about three fundamentals of life. And the three fundamentals of life are: life has a purpose. Yes, your life has a purpose. And the corollary to that, the result of having a purpose, is you can go mad. And MAD, of course, is a great acronym, and it makes it positive in this, in understanding. MAD stands for make a difference. Go make a difference. When you have a purpose in life and you're living it, you can go make a difference. And the way to do that, the easy, fun way to do that, is by unlocking the secrets and the power of everyday words and terms. Everyday words and terms, such as, example, WWW. Now, if you ask anybody, what does WWW stand for? Most likely people will tell you it has something to do with the internet. And factually speaking, they are correct. But in our world, the world of the positive, the purposeful, the powerful, and the pleasant, WWW stands for, drum roll, fanfare, da-dun, da-da. What a wonderful world. And of course, a tip of the hat to Hashmo, Louis Armstrong, for making that song go viral and touching hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people around the planet. And whenever you even hear the first opening bars of that song, you begin to smile. And SMILE is another great acronym that stands for seeing miracles in life every day. Seeing miracles in life every day. Now, invariably, what happens is, whether I'm speaking to a group of 50 people or 5,000, or even here on the show, and people put up on the board, but Mr. Shore, I've been up for hours already, I haven't seen any miracles. And I ask them, are you here? Can you hear? Can you see? Do you have water to drink? Do you have food to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have family? Do you have friends? Those are miracles. And the ability to see miracles in life every day, that opens up your consciousness, expands it, and enables you to live in this world in a beautiful, harmonious, and purposeful way. Now, I have to tell you also that my 8-year-old niece said to me recently, "Uncle Barry, can I spell smile S-M-I-E-L?" And I thought about it. I smiled. I said, "Of course, smile. Why not?" And I asked, "Why?" She said, "Because then it can stand for seeing miracles in everyday life." Wow. From an 8-year-old. Yes. And WOW, of course, is a great acronym. WOW stands for words of wisdom, words of wonder. Because when you hear something that you really can't answer back easily, you just say, "Wow." Words of wisdom. And that's what we're going to be hearing today from an amazing person, a guest, a friend, a teacher, a guide. You'll be hearing from him in just a few minutes, because what right now we're going to talk about, be able to create the kind of world you want to live in. CREATE is a remarkable acronym that stands for causing rethinking, enabling all to excel. Enabling all to excel by the causing your rethinking using those 50 billion brain cells and those trillion synapses to do more than just select what kind of coffee you want to have in the morning. To be able to use them to create the kind of world and live in harmony that will bring about benefit in the world. And there's a great and simple way to do that. And that is with two of the most powerful words in the English language. When you learn to say these words in a conscious, conscientious way, you will literally change the direction and the fabric and the way of your life. And those two words are, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank stands for to harmonize and network kindness. To harmonize and network kindness. Now, the Dalai Lama has been quoted as saying, and I read one of his books, be kind whenever possible. And it's always possible. Because everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, always. KIND is another wonderful acronym. It stands for keep inspiring noble deeds. So when you say thank you consciously and conscientiously, you are changing the way that you're thinking, speaking, and acting. Now, thanking is wonderful. So what happens? You go into your coffee shop and you order your fancy latte for $5.25, and someone brings it to you. You say thank you. They order your $5.25 latte, and you wait a few minutes, and nobody's bringing it to you. So go up to the counter, and they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, we forgot." And you wait patiently, and finally give it to you. And with the same enthusiasm, you say, "Thank you." You're walking out of the coffee shop. Somebody holds the door open for you. Thank you. You're walking out of the coffee shop. Somebody slams the door on you. Thank you. You're driving on the freeway, and somebody cuts you off. Thank you. You get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe and it hurts. You say, thank you. To harmonize and network kindness. And to learn how to think stands for to harness insightful neural connections. And to harmonize and network kindness, now you're creating the kind of harmony and love and benefit in the world. Now, I have to warn you in advance that your humble host does use 4-letter words, and I will use them throughout the show, and he even uses a 4-letter F-U word. So I just want to warn you in advance. 4-letter words I like to use, like life, live, give, free. And the 4-letter word, F-U, capital N, capital N, fun. Because if you can't have fun, then you can't even get to the first position of enjoying life to the full, and therefore becoming the best you. Now, whenever you go after the show and you see your family and your friends and have a twinkle in your eye and a smile on your face, remember what smile stands for, and you point your finger and says, F you, everybody, remember, please, to add the capital N, capital N, right away, fun, hello. And they say, where'd you get that? And you say, well, I listened to The Joy of Living with Barry Shore, your humble host. And speaking of humble and great and knowledgeable and giving and kind and generous, I am going to ask my guide, my teacher, my mentor, to say a big hearty hello to 270,000 people around the world. And then I'm going to delve into his background and let him start speaking so you can learn about the ancient timeless truths that will enable you to become the best you possible. Wonderful Rabbi Lappin, please say a large, wonderful, ingratiating hello to 270,000 people around the world.
Well, I'll just say hello to you, Barry, and I'll let 270,000 people eavesdrop.
Well, hello back at you. And I don't think anybody's ever said F you to you, Rabbi Lappin, before, have they?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
I would be. So I want to make sure that everybody understands we are speaking with a remarkable being, and remarkable in the sense that he has a lineage. And he's also made his own use of that lineage to leverage everything he's learned to become a spokesperson and a model, not just for himself and his family and those people who know him and love him, but for millions of people around the world. Rabbi Daniel Lappin is a teacher. He's an author. He's an expert in ancient Jewish wisdom. He is a sailor, and I mean an accomplished sailor. He's a podcaster, and he hosts co-hosts a television show called Ancient Jewish Wisdom on the TCT Network, which is also known as the Total Christian Television Network. And I am here to happily introduce Rabbi Lappin to share with us those pieces of ancient wisdom, those timeless truths, as we're calling this particular episode, in three areas that I asked the audience to give us input on before, and they are in health, wealth, and wisdom. So without any more ado, wonderful Rabbi Lappin, first of all, a wonderful, warm welcome to you. Let's speak first about timeless truths and a little bit about your lineage and how it is that it's possible that things that come from thousands of years ago can still have relevance today, let's say even in the realm of health.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm not going to do much on the lineage stuff because I can boast about my lineage as for the rest of the show. But it would be a whole lot more impressive if you could get hold of my lineage and find out if they're boasting about me, which is a different story altogether.
Okay, so, let's do it.
Unfortunately, it's not possible for you to sort of go back and check to see how my grandfather feels about me or about some of my teachers. I feel great about them and owe them pretty much everything I know. But to get to the topic, I'm going to take the prerogative of a guest and make some slight modifications. And I'll tell you why. I'm not really going to talk much about health, even though that's what your listeners asked for. But I'm not really good at taking instructions. I've got to tell you that, Barry. Just not the best thing. It's just not my main strength.
And by the way, I know this to be fact.
Yes. And so here's why I don't want to waste time talking about health. Why is talking about health a waste of time? Well, from me, it would be, because there are only two kinds of health matters. One kind is the genetic inherited issues. You know, some people inherit fantastic dispositions, and other people inherit certain genetic medical traits, and there's really nothing that I can say about that. To the extent that there has been research, cutting edge, you know, each and every person can check in with Dr. Google, which is what everyone does anyway, which really aggravates your doctor, by the way. When you show up and you tell him what Google told you about your condition, just be aware it really, really aggravates your doctor. But that's one kind of problem. The other kind of thing is simply taking care of yourself. Now, it turns out that one of the very best correlations for health is wealth. In other words, people with a few dollars in their bank account, in general terms, in the United States of America and elsewhere in many, many other countries, large parts of Western Europe, Japan, other places, there's a strong correlation. You've got a few dollars in your account, you tend to have better health. It's not because the good Lord is being unfair to poor people. It's not that. The reason is very simple, and that is that people who have a few dollars, number one, are not so stressed. Stress is a huge problem. Number two, they feel comfortable. And everyone knows the science on the placebo effect. The placebo effect is that your mind controls your body. So much so that even if a doctor tells you he's giving you a placebo, they still get a measurable therapeutic response. That's how powerful it is. And it's much stronger when doctors don't tell the patients. In recent years, medical ethics in the United States has decreed that patients have to be told if they're being given a placebo, but it didn't used to be like that. And so even Massachusetts General, where a lot of the placebo studies were done, shows that what's happening in your mind really impacts your body. So that's a hugely important health factor. And so if you are making money, and by the way, what I'm talking about does not apply to winning money in a lottery, which generally seems to have a negative effect on people's happiness and health, and it doesn't apply to inherited money, interestingly enough. The impact is not as negative as for lottery-type money, but the impact of inherited money is not nearly as good as the impact of earned money. And so, really, the very best piece of advice I can give you for your health is, number one, make sure you've got fantastically healthy parents. That's number one. But it's a little too late. So that's called winning the ovarian lottery. You either did or you didn't, and now you're stuck with the hand of cards you've been dealt. And now the very next best thing you can do is be financially successful.
So let me interrupt
here,
because that's the prerogative of the host, and say, first of all, thank you. And what Rabbi Lapin has just done is something that I have been privy to for decades, and that is utilizing and leveraging the information to be able to deliver the result without it seeming that he's addressing the particular issue head on. So he just told us about health.
Barry, easy does it then, my friend. Here am I trying to pull rabbits out of a hat, and you're pulling the curtain aside to show everybody that I really had the rabbit in my pocket behind my coat all the time. Come on, give a guy a break here.
Not only that, he has several rabbits. He's going to keep pulling more out of them. It's wonderful because one of the benefits, first of all, the word health is a great acronym. I think you might like this one, Rabbi Lapin. Helping everyone achieve life through happiness. That's what real good health is. And you mentioned the mindset. As we know, you're right. No matter what the genetic situation is, that's all predisposition. The reality of good health is what is in your mind and what your thoughts and therefore your words and your deeds say about you and what you work with. Now, we know in this world four wonderful words. And if you apply them, you can understand a lot about health. And then we're going to move more into wealth because you are famous for helping people create more wealth. And I want to talk about that at length. But stress kills, joy heals. Stress, as Rabbi Lapin mentioned, is one of those issues that if you are able to mitigate it, reduce it, or even eliminate it, which is not possible, you don't have to eliminate it completely, but at least reduce it or mitigate it, then health becomes that which you can live with on a regular basis, day by day by day, because one never knows what can happen from one moment to the next. As most everybody knows listening to the show, your humble host was standing up in the morning, just like I hope 99.99% of everybody listening, hale and hearty, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, faster than a speeding bullet. And in the evening, I was in the hospital, paralyzed from my neck down. I became what's known as a quadriplegic overnight from a very rare disease. Obviously, I wasn't checking off a box and saying, yes, that's what I want and what to do. But what you do with situations is really the key. So when Rabbi Lapin is speaking about health and correlating it with wealth, he's mentioning the idea of wealth not only in the pocketbook, but in the mind. And that's how he pulls rabbits out of the hat. So let's speak more about the mind. By the way, I just want to make mention that on Rabbi Lapin's podcast, and I urge everybody to listen to it, his handle is, the more that things change, the more we must depend upon those things that never change. So let's go right there. We'll use change as our segue, because change can talk about money, and it can change talks about that which is both eternal and not. So let's go move even more deeply into timeless truths and speak more about wealth. What is it that you can do to help people accumulate wealth, both in terms of the mind and the pocketbook?
Well, the one of the biggest obstacles in progress towards financial wealth, and I want to be very explicit here that I am talking literally about dollars in your bank account, because very often people speak about, well, oh, I'm the richest man on earth, you know, I have work I enjoy doing, and I've got a nice marriage, and I've got lovely kids. I'm the richest guy on earth. You know, meanwhile, your house is being foreclosed on. So we're not talking about that. That goes without saying. Obviously, happiness is a completely separate discussion. I don't know if we'll have time for that today. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But what we're talking about is really hard dollars. Now, why is this significant? Well, it's really important to understand that money is actually spiritual, not physical. Now, when I use the terms physical and spiritual, I'm not confusing that word spiritual with holiness or piety or godlike or heavenly. I'm speaking as a physicist, not as a rabbi, which is to say that spiritual is simply something which cannot be measured in a laboratory. So spiritual would be a tune. The saxophone is physical. I can measure its weight in the lab. I can measure its height. But the tune cannot be measured. There is no instrument on the planet. Neither is, by the way, I'll just clarify, neither is there any artificial intelligence on the planet yet, and I doubt there ever will be, that can tell whether a tune is a happy or a sad tune. Mm-hmm. Because that is something that only happens within a human being's soul. Up till that point, until the point the music impacts on your eardrums, it is literally nothing more than vibrating air molecules. And so spiritual is something which doesn't measure in a lab. And so when we speak about money, one can easily be entrapped into assuming that money is physical, because it's those metallic discs that jingle in your pocket, or it's those strips of colored paper in your wallet, and you say, well, I can measure that, that piece of paper, I can measure as green on one side, and I can measure that it's 6 inches long and 3 inches wide and 3/1000ths of an inch thick. True, but none of that tells you anything about why people like them. Why people like them is entirely spiritual. There is no way to measure it. At another time, it might be somebody writing a check. Another time, it might be the orientation of iron oxide molecules on the back of your credit card. Or it might be somebody shaking your hand and say, I'll give you $10 on Friday. There is no way to know essentially what money is, because it is fundamentally spiritual.
So let me ask a question here. Are we saying, in essence, that the result of what people call money, or some medium of exchange, because it could be coconuts as well as anything else, is the ability for one to gain that which one has a desire for? So whether it be acquiring a wife or
a home? No, exactly not that. No,
sorry?
Exactly not.
Good.
It couldn't be further away from the truth.
Good.
The truth
That's
is,
what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah, no, I have to tell the truth. The truth is that money, and I know, look, you know, everyone's done Econ 101, and it's a medium of exchange, and it's this and it's that. It's all of that's irrelevant. The definition of money is only one thing, and that is It is certificates of performance given to you to prove that you have served another one of God's children. That's literally what it is.
Yes. It's a result of what we call service.
It's a result of doing something for somebody else, either giving them the things they want or providing them with the service that they want.
Yes.
And that's why I think of money as holy. And that's why even in English we use the same word for service, worship service, and customer service, because there is something holy about taking care of God's other children. And that's what money is. It is evidence that you have taken care of somebody else. So, you know, to give you an example, let's say I'm a roofer, and you call me up one Sunday afternoon and you say, hey, it's raining over here. My wife's really upset. There's water coming in through the roof. Can you do something about it? And I'm just about to say, Barry, I really can't, because I'd arranged to take my children to the shopping mall this afternoon. And I'm just about to say that to you when I think to myself, wait a sec, what would be more valuable to my children? To spend the afternoon walking around the shopping mall looking at things that are designed to generate their desire, their avarice, and their venality? Or are they going to benefit more from watching their father serve somebody else? And so I say, Barry, don't you worry about it. You tell your wife that in an hour there's going to be no water coming in her kitchen. And we throw the ladder in the pickup truck, and the kids grab my toolbox, and I get a bunch of shingles, and we jump in the truck, and we drive over to your house, and we, in no time at all, we got the ladder up there. I'm up on the roof with one of my kids. We're hammering in new shingles, and boy, in an hour, your wife is as happy as could be, which means you're as happy as could be, and no more water coming in. And you say, thanks, that's terrific. And I say, well, thanks is all very well, like, because I know that on his show, Barry Shaw says saying thank you is critical and crucial, and I appreciate you thanking me, but I also need some certificates of performance. And you say, yeah, of course, I understand that. How many? And I say, I need 100 certificates of performance. So you reach in your pocket and take out a roll of certificates of performance. You peel off 100 green ones, and you give them to me. And now off I go. And it's wonderful. And that night, the children are in bed, and I say to my wife, let me take you on a date. We're going to go to a restaurant. And we go to a nice kosher restaurant, and we walk in, and the guy says, what do you want? And I say, well, that's a little of an unusual way to greet guests to your restaurant, but what we'd like are two of the biggest, fattest, juiciest steaks you got and a huge basin of French fries. And he says, what, you want me to go and labor in my kitchen just because you want all that stuff? And I say, well, yeah, I was sort of hoping. He said, look, let me explain something to you. This restaurant is only for members of a certain club. I say, really? And what club would that be? This is a restaurant designed exclusively for the club, made up of people who spend a good portion of each day taking care of the needs of other human beings. I say, my good man, you got nothing to worry about. I'm in that club. And he says, can you prove it? I say, you bet I can, because I took care of some other human beings no earlier than this afternoon, and I actually have a pocket full of certificates of good performance. He says, well, in that case, make yourselves comfortable. I'll be out with your food in a jiffy. And when it's done, he says, and if you don't mind, I would like 60 certificates of performance. And so I peel off 60 and I give them to him. And he says, this is great. I've got to take my kids to a dentist tomorrow. And guess what? The dentist's part of the same club. He only welcomes people into his waiting room who also have taken care of other human beings. And this is the system the good Lord designed for human economic interaction. I don't work for money. I work for the sheer joy of serving God's other children. The money follows automatically.
And that's a great segue into two pieces of information we want to share with everybody, because the name of this show, of course, is called, and Rabbi Lappin just said to you, The Joy of Living. And the joy of living can be summed up in one word, giving. And as Rabbi Lappin just mentioned to us, giving of oneself in service is what creates the system that enables others to gain benefit and as well even more so you. Now, you used an interesting word several times, Rabbi Lapin, while you were describing visually this wonderful situation of helping the person with the leaky roof and then enjoying with your wife a dinner and such like that. You used the word happiness, and we are going to make time to discuss that. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after that. Stay on the edge of your seats. Don't fall off. We're going to come right back with Rabbi Daniel Lapin, and we will be discussing happiness from the point
and
of view
just
of
just before
time.
We jump to the break, the website is RabbiDanielLapin.com, if you don't mind.
Yes, RabbiDanielLapin.com. And again, all of this is available on BarryShore.com. And just remember, you're listening to The Joy of Living, and we'll be right back after this short break. How happy this time of year is, joy reigning supreme. Hello, Barry Shore here. Now, I have a quick question for you. Do you have stress? S-T-R-E-S-S, capital letters, stress, because you're supposed to be happy, and oh my gosh, maybe I'm not, and there's so much to do, and so many things to be done, and what am I going? Well, if you have stress, and you want to get rid of it, or you want to reduce it and replace it with joy, then do this. Are you ready? Go to www.barryshore.com. That's B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, barryshore.com. Remember, WWW stands for What a Wonderful World. And treat yourself to the 11 strategies for living in joy daily. It's free, or your money back, cheerfully refunded, free. Do it now. You'll be happy you did. And let me know. Send me an email. Send me a text. Give me a call and tell me how happy you are. Go mad and enjoy the holidays. Bye now. Good day, beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. Remember, you're good-looking because you're always looking for and finding the good. And we have good in abundance today in a being called Rabbi Daniel Lapin. He is a teacher. He's an author. He's an expert in ancient Jewish wisdom, a sailor, a podcaster, a TV host, and a man who knows how to weave a story and bring you in and enables you to experience it. We just left our intrepid heroes talking about happiness. So Rabbi Lapin, if you'd be so kind, let's go back and go deeply, as men who like to go down to the sea in ships do, and talk about happiness.
Right. Well, happiness is the result. And again, you know, I'm not going to quote Viktor Frankl and all the other smart and experienced people who've written about happiness over the centuries. We can go back to the Greek classics for that, but I'd rather just talk about things that are self-evident, that that each and every person can hear and say to themselves, yeah, wow, words of wisdom, that makes sense to me, I got it, that figures. So what is it that that makes for happiness? And I'm going to speak primarily for the moment about men, because men are more complicated and challenging beings. We are also capable of greater calamity as well as greater creativity. In other words, the old bell curve shows far greater variation from the mean for men than it does for women. In other words, on average, the shorter men are much shorter than shorter women. And taller men are much taller than taller women. So, yes, it's true. We do have women like Venus Williams or Michelle Obama who top 6 foot. And we've got men like Michael J. Fox who's much, much, much shorter. But in general, not only are men taller than women on average, but the range of men is far, far greater. We have men who are grandmasters in chess. right? Although women constitute 50% of the population, women are not 50% of chess players. And now a lot of people are going to say, well, that's cultural. That's because the culture hasn't encouraged women to play chess. And that may be to some extent true. But in the rarefied world of grand chess masters, you don't need a lot. The trouble is you need a lot to cull from. And the smartest of men are much smarter than the smartest of women on average. And on the other end of the bell curve, the more moronic of men are far, far, far more stupid than the worst of women.
And by the way, I think most people have experienced this in their lives. So when you're speaking about this, this is not just esoterica. This is what people...
Yeah, it's real world. It's real world. Look, everyone knows. Right. Remember the old Darwin Awards? It's been years, but it used to be a time where they used to give an annual award to the person who killed himself in the most spectacularly stupid way.
Right.
And it was an award because they thought, well, this is really good. This person's removing his genes from the human gene pool. He's doing everyone a huge favor. And you know what? In spite of the fact that they tried to deliver egalitarian results, they were never able to find a woman winner. Because no woman ever did anything as stupid, even approaching, even closely as stupid, as what so many guys did. And as you said, you know, nobody's listening to me now and saying, wow, I can't believe that. Everyone's nodding and say, yeah, that makes sense. Right. You know, maybe you're not supposed to say it these days, but yeah, that makes sense. And so it is more complicated to figure out happiness for men than for women.
Okay, then let's go along that path.
And for men, there really are... there's really not a lot here. We need three things. We need a relationship with God. We need to be making money, and we need to be in a good relationship with a woman. Those are the three things that make men happy. That's all we need. Everything else flows after that. Everything else comes from that.
By the way, there are hundreds of thousands of people, mostly men around the world right now, nodding their heads with a big smile on their face. They're relating, for good or ill, more to the third and the second than the first. So, but let's
speak
about...
Yeah, no, that's true, but I have to put in the first simply because, you know, right now America is suffering from epidemics of suicide, opioid use, crime, dysfunction. And it's almost overwhelming, not entirely, because it is spreading to women. There are now gangs of women inflicting violent crime on the streets. But in general, it is mostly men. And if you ask yourself what has changed in the last 50 years, it's really fundamentally God. It's as simple as that.
And yeah, or
so
the lack thereof.
I have to include that. Yeah. It's a separate discussion, and we shouldn't sort of spend too much time there because... you either get it or you don't. And if you do get it, that's great. Then you know what's going on. If you don't get it, then now isn't the time to delve into that. But the other two things make sense. In other words, yes, if your life is such that you got no financial worries and you've gotten meaning from life, and one of the most fundamental ways of gaining meaning, going back to Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, meaning serving other people and having relationships. Making money is proof you've served other people.
Right.
And so most of us derive huge meaning from our work, which is one of the reasons that inherited money can be so much of a curse. Winning a lottery can be so much of a curse. The stories are legion of the people whose lives fell apart after they won the lotteries. But actually working for your money. So bottom line is you've got no financial worries because you have a successful approach to making money and you have a fantastic woman to share it with. You know, you should have two little bald spots in the carpet next to your bed where your knees go every night. I mean, what have you got to not be grateful about if your life's like that? Adding in something you and I spoke about at the very beginning of the show, which is that given those two things, no loneliness because you're in a good relationship, no financial stress, the odds are that barring genetic factors, you're in great health.
Correct.
So you've got everything. So It's very basic. It's very fundamental. If we can focus on the things that people can do in order to make money, and the things they can do in order to build relationships, and I'm speaking mainly about men, building a relationship, a successful, durable relationship with a woman, we've handed over the keys of the kingdom, Barry.
Correct. And those keys, by the way, are what Rabbi Lapin not only has been speaking about today, it's what he has been speaking and living since I've known him, which now dates back almost 40 years. So I can attest to the fact that not only is he speaking that which he lives and knows, but I'm happy to tell you, hundreds, if not tens of thousands, actually, because if we do the tree of all the people that you've affected, with this, again, these timeless truths. This is really what the ancient wisdom is. I mean, we're talking about wisdom and the sense that wisdom is not something that was brought to bear in the past 50 years or 100 years or 200 years or 1,000 or two. It is timeless. And Rabbi Lapin has... Yes?
No, this is the point you made a few minutes ago, and you're absolutely right when you said, well, you know, why is ancient wisdom relevant to the 21st century? And you're putting your finger on it, and what's so nice about this is that it really is what lies at the heart of the symbolism of the Star of David. Two triangles, one rotated 180 degrees and then superimposed on the first. But if you think of them as two triangles, they actually represent two graphs showing the growth of knowledge or wisdom over the period of time, except one of the triangles refers to wisdom that as time goes by, the triangle narrows and narrows and narrows, meaning we know less and less and less, and the other one is a point at the bottom. We know very little at the beginning, but as time goes by, we know more and more and more. So that second triangle applies to essentially the world of science and technology. And there's no question that your grandchild will know more about aspects of technology than you do. And in the same way, we know more about thermodynamics than our grandparents did. As time goes by, we know more and more and more about science. But then there's another area of knowledge and understanding, and these are things that never change. How to relate to money, how to relate to God, male-female relationships, how to deal with children, how to deal with aging parents, how to deal with siblings. Nothing here has changed. The discomforts of travel, the fact that I travel for business and my great-grandfather traveled for business, the only difference is that a Sheraton is more comfortable than a pile of straw in the inn back in Lithuania, and he traveled a few miles on a wagon, and I travel thousands of miles on a jetliner. But essentially, being away from home hasn't changed. Doing it to make money hasn't changed. Experiencing basic discomforts of travel. Obviously, everything on its own scale. But there's certain things in life that don't change. And when we spend our time exploring and studying those things that never change, we find that the truths that were true 100 years ago and 1,000 years ago are going to be true 100 and 1,000 years hence.
And this is of absolute, and I use the term purposely, absolute importance in listening to what we're doing today. Remember, the name of the show is called The Joy of Living, and you tune in because you care most about you. You want to be the best you possible. Human nature, Rabbi Lapin is sharing with us, doesn't change. Science, technology, all the things that whirl around us, they do. And the ability to know about them, to utilize them, to leverage them, to enhance relationships, to enhance service, so that today Rabbi Lapin can give service in a 20-minute discussion about something that would have taken his forebears weeks and months to do because of the the ability to communicate. So science and technology, as he says, is one aspect of wisdom. The other is the wisdom of understanding the human being. By the way, Rabbi Lapin, I like to say that we live in the era called MILK. MILK stands for more information, less knowledge. In today's
that's
world,
very good.
And by the way, sometimes it's done purposely to inundate and keep people off the path that you've been discussing. The three fundamentals that he says are beautiful. If you have a relationship with God, and whatever, by the way, whatever aspect you like to understand that term, I believe, and he does as well, obviously, that there is a creator, and the creator has given us life, and life has purpose. And there's a relationship with money, that which transpires because people give service to one another. And the relationship with a woman from a man's point of view, and a woman from a woman's point of view, to create family. Because when you do that, you are living inspirationally for eternity, which, by the way, is the acronym for life. Living inspirationally for eternity. You are not here just in the moment. You are an eternal being. You're a star. You are literally sunshine transformed and reformatted, and have an obligation, by the way, a responsibility. I hope that you might agree with me on this, Rabbi Lapin. And if you don't, that's fine also. You have a responsibility once one wakes up and becomes aware of purpose in life and the ability to make a difference, to make sure that you do have a positive, purposeful, powerful, pleasant relationship with each one of those three that you mentioned: God, money, and woman, or in the case of a man, or in the case of a woman, for a man, and creating family. We'll call it family for the moment. So with
now,
that,
what is the comparable identifiers of happiness for women? It's not exactly the same as for men. It's different.
Right, but for women, oftentimes it's more in children than it is for the man in children.
That's exactly right. Women have most. Again, are there exceptions? Of course, there are exceptions. I've met and had on my show women who have said, you know, I don't want to have children. I really don't want kids. Not for me. And and I totally accept that. Everyone knows what makes them happy. But in general, overwhelmingly, a woman derives happiness from having a child. It's hugely important. And having a man who surrounds her with a cocoon of security, having a man she feels worthy of her surrender, those are the things that bring huge happiness to most women.
That was sure. So beautifully said. By the way, you and I have a we intersect on a favorite author, Camelia Paglia.
Yes, that's quite right. Yes.
I'm a very big fan. She's one of the more articulate and interesting and fascinating people that I've ever read.
And she's honest.
Yeah, and exactly.
Which in academia today is very rare.
Yes. But again, we're discussing in the aggregate, and of course, for most women, it is the ability to have children, because there is this part of the human nature we don't want to deny. That is the beauty of being alive. And when
these are just realities. I mean, we know, unfortunately, over the last 40 years, we've had ample experience of doing clinical tests on what I'm about to say. But when industries close, big tests done in the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, the closing of industries in Connecticut and Massachusetts, one of the things we know is that at times of financial stress, like losing a job, men have a certain level, generally, not every single man, but the level of sexual dysfunction skyrockets for men in these affected areas and industries. When women lose jobs or have financial stress, no sexual dysfunction at all. Doesn't happen.
So we're not going to end up the show, which we do have to do in a couple of minutes, on the idea of sexual dysfunction. And if you'd like, I'll write
the point. The point that making money is absolutely central to male identity.
Oh, absolutely. And on that wonderful note, again, a huge thank you, my dear mentor, guide, Rabbi Daniel Lapin, for being here today. And I know I have dozens and dozens of questions up on the board. We didn't even get to them yet. But I just want to say again, in a little synopsis, the 3 points that Rabbi Lapin made, I think, are so fundamental. I urge everybody, listen to the show again. Share it. Go to barryshore.com, BarryShore, and listen, share, give it. Relationship with God, relationship with money, which is service, relationship with a woman, and the ability to understand that timeless truths are just that. Because the more we must depend upon the things that never change, then we will be able to make sure that we can do the following. And I give a big blessing to everybody. Go forth, live the blessing, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Rabbi Lapin, thank you ever so much. Greatly appreciate it. And
wonderful talking with you, and wonderful being a small part of the incredible service you provide to such huge numbers of people around the world.
Thank you again, everybody. WWW, what a wonderful world. Wow, words of wisdom, smiles, seeing miracles in life every day. F you, everybody. But remember, add in capital N, capital N, fun. And thank you to Harmonize and Network. Kindness. Go mad. Go make a difference. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? Me, Barry Shore here, BarryShore, BarryShore.com. That's www.barryshore.com. And the www stands for What a Wonderful World. Do you ever get frustrated by traffic? Huh? Are you fully and supremely happy at work? Well, if you are, great. And if you're not, go to www.barryshore.com and download the 11 strategies for living in joy daily. And it's free, or your money back, free, or your money cheerfully refunded, free. Go to barryshore.com, 11 strategies for living in joy daily. Go forth. Live the blessing, spread the seeds of peace and love.